Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Charlotte Alea, and who is a worthiness coach and breakthrough transformation guide. She helps sensitive, unique and soulful women build their sense of worthiness to get to know who they really are and unleash their light and true brilliance. She does this by showing you how to listen to your inner wisdom, break through the lies of unworthiness, transform deep wounds of invisibility and abandonment into trust and love, and embrace strength and courage. Hey, love.
Hey.
I love that. So it's we've just sort of talked about it off air, but I that you've changed what you're doing a little bit, or like shifted. And so it's beautiful to read that, because that is what you do.
Oh, it is. It's so nice to get that reflection. Yeah, you know, as a transformation coach and guide, I'm constantly transforming my business.
So this is going to lead in. Let's start where you always start. Like, what is adulting, or what does being an adult mean for you?
All right. So being an adult to me means letting go of all the ways, letting go of who you think you are and all the ways that you thought that you needed to be and who you were supposed to be to discover and embrace who you really are.
I love that. I love that. And you know, the part of that links in, and that's why I kind of asked you then, is because it's about transformation, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this kind of idea, and maybe it was just me, but there was this kind of idea in my adolescence, or in that period between being a child and being an adult, that I thought that there was like one transformation that happened, right? There was like a hero's journey that you went on. And that once you had completed that journey, whether it was a hero's journey or a heroine's journey, you were done and you arrived at adultdom.
Yes.
And now I'm like, what a lie.
I sometimes have that fantasy, Ebony. I still sometimes after I go through a big breakthrough, I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it. This is who I am. I'm done.
It's a lie. I hate to break it to you, but it's a huge lie.
Yep.
But I think it's a lie that we get told, because if right at the beginning of that journey, right, as you were accepting the call and you were going off into this world and like you were discovering the shadows and getting really uncomfortable, if someone said, hey, by the way, this is endless, and you when you defeat this demon, there's like so much more, you probably wouldn't carry on.
Yeah, no, it's true. Or you wouldn't have the courage to do the first journey, right? The first time you really meet some of those deeper shadowy aspects of yourself, because you don't yet have the experience and of coming out of it and coming to the other side, of coming to that place of fullness and expansion, which makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
And once you have that, then you're usually willing to do it again.
Well, yeah, and because it's the reward is experience, right? So the more we do these things, the more we test ourselves or get to know ourselves or go into a relationship and get to know someone else through, you know, or get to know ourselves through a reflection of someone else or whatever it is, the more experience and the fuller the picture, at least that's my experience.
Yeah, and the more you just feel good about hanging out with yourself. You know, because you're enjoying the experience of being you rather than focusing so much energy externally of trying to fit a mold of of who you think you're supposed to be.
So is that what you, when you talk about worthiness, is that what you're referring to?
Exactly. Yeah. It is. It's really about, worthiness is really about coming home to yourself and building a home for yourself within yourself.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so in my version of the world, adulting is choosing to build a home for yourself within yourself, rather than saying, hey, will someone build a home for me, please? You know, or not even, like, just arriving and being like, where is my home? Someone should build me a home, right?
Yeah.
It's like these attitudes are slightly different. Like they're one of rescue me or entitlement or like all of these different things. But actually when we really feel worthy, there's also like a sense of self-responsibility as well, right?
Yeah, it is definitely a choice. And the choice at first often doesn't feel, it feels like the harder choice, I mean, it's, or the more challenging or the more painful choice, because it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel safe to build that home, because our idea of what is safe, which was created when we're a child, we outgrow that. Mm. And that's not actually what is safe to us as an adult.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Like, you know, not, we have this weird thing going on as adults, because not only have we got the version of what was safe as a child kind of running the show to some degree, right? Like in a little part, like keep me safe, keep me safe, keep me safe, based on like experiences that happened when you were like in kindergarten. And then you've also got this primal brain from like cave age going, where's the saber-toothed tiger? Where's the bear? I'm also trying to keep you safe. Both of which are hugely helpful and also really not that helpful.
Mm. Yeah, this is interesting. This is an interesting question. This leads right into something I wanted to talk about in this podcast, because I know as we were talking before we started recording, I've been being visited by my inner wild child in my dreams. And I know you love the wildness. And it seems like from our conversations that your inner wild child was always sort of a part of you, right? It's a part of you that you embraced early on in your life, right?
So what's interesting for me is that as a child, I embraced my wild child. As a teen, I embraced my shadow or my wounded wild child, right? Oh, so my wounded wild child is what showed up. And I feel like it's only now that I'm really starting to embrace my adult whole wild. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, as a child, completely blocked out my inner wild child. I was a very hypervigilant child. I had to control my world. I did not like I refused to ride bikes. I didn't learn how to swim until I was 8 years old. I would go into a full panic if I thought I was going to be late for school. I hated any kind of situations where there was danger. I was so repelled by danger. Mm-hmm. And then that carried through for a really, really long time. And I think, you know, when I was in my late teens and 20s, I definitely played with my wild side, but in a way not in a way where, more in playing with my inner wild teenager, not in the sort of wild child part of myself. And so my wild child has been visiting me in my dreams as part of me that just doesn't give a fuck about laws or rules and any kind of moderation and, and fucking everything up, right? Mm-hmm. This part of me that like wants to fuck everything up.
Yeah.
That wants that danger, that wants that chaos. And she started visiting my dreams. And at first I was so scared of her. I was blocking her out. I was literally running away from her in my dreams, closing the doors. And she said to me, she's like, you're shaming me. And I was like, oh. and so the dreams have sort of evolved where now, like I had a dream last night with her where she had just murdered someone and we were escaping together. but anyway, so for me, you know, so in some way, adulting is bringing this part of me, this part of myself, into who I am, and accepting her. And because, you know, there's power, right? There's power in that inner wild child. And so learning how to, because when we cut off those parts of ourselves, as you know, this is the thing, we cut off those parts of ourselves, they act, they still are there. They're just acting out unconsciously. So they're sabotaging us, right? But when we integrate them consciously into who we are, then we actually gain the power from them. And that's what really adulting is. It's allowing that wholeness.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. You know, I talk about quite a lot of the Misfit to Maven journey being about identifying and embracing our shadows. Mm-hmm. Often in that, people are like, what do you mean? You know, what are our shadows? And I'm like, you know, they're all the bits you don't really want to look at. They're all the bits that you're a bit like, oh no, but I don't do that, or I don't like that, or that doesn't make me feel comfortable, or whatever. And sometimes those things were put away into a shadowy place. Mm-hmm. At a time where they weren't appropriate, but that they absolutely are now, or whatever, right? Like we blank, it's like someone didn't respond in a way that we wanted them to when we behaved in a particular way. And we took it to mean something and made a decision and therefore a rule about how we were going to live our entire lives based on that momentary perception and or understanding or knowing. And that perception or knowing or understanding was probably done by a brain that wasn't fully developed yet and hadn't experienced a full plethora of human experience or possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, that we get to these certain stages within adulthood where it's like, okay, now you're ready for that part of you that you cut off to come back into. You know, and it always happens. It's our shadows present themselves to us when we're ready to integrate them, you know? So it's like, now I'm ready for my inner wild child to be part of me, which I wasn't ready before. And that's part of like what you said about responsibility. You know, knowing that you're only given what you can handle. And so when you're given it, handle it.
And that links really nicely back into this idea of worthiness, right? Because until you feel a sense of security within yourself, a sense of trust of yourself, then you're not going to be able to navigate this journey that can be quite uncomfortable or uncertain, right? Only because it's new, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that comes to us this place of, again, connecting to that word trust, like trusting yourself that because you weren't able to kind of integrate it before, it doesn't mean, you know, going into this place of compassion for yourself. It didn't mean that there was anything, you know, quote unquote wrong with you, right? Because something that a lot of us that struggle with unworthiness, we feel like there's something wrong with us. And we look to we get stuck looking to our past and seeing the mistakes, seeing the failures, seeing the ways that we weren't enough or we were too much. And so knowing that like it simply wasn't the right moment for that healing piece to come in, that we simply weren't ready, that we simply weren't, that wasn't that our part, the part of our journey that we were at.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's literally a choice of choosing something different, right? Like it can be a habit that where we get into a cycle of looking, oh, look, I wasn't enough. Oh, look, I'm always too much. Oh, look, I'm making it part of our identity and essentially saying, you know, I am someone who's too much, or I am someone who's wild, or I am someone who's safe, or I am. And by doing that enough times, we literally take it on as an identity piece and wear it. You know, on us, blasted on our body, in our whole attitude, in our vibration, and in our energy. And sometimes it's just a decision. Like sometimes it's a decision of like, you know what, I choose to be this instead. I choose to explore looking at all the times when I've been exactly enough, all the times when I've, you know, been exactly, you know, the perfect amount of me. I look to the times where people have affirmed me. I choose to see something different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so powerful to do that. That is the process of getting to know who you really are. And you get to choose, like you said. You know, I think that it's a combination of choosing who you are and surrendering to who you really are, right? I think there's a combination of that. So yeah, so several, I don't know how long ago, but I came across an affirmation that just like brought tears to my eyes. And I didn't feel it. I felt it in my heart, but I didn't feel it in my entire body. And that affirmation was, my presence is a gift. That I don't have to do, be, or give anything more than I am. That my presence is a gift. And I decided, you know what? I choose to believe this. I want to believe this. And so I'm going to do everything that I can. I'm going to shift the choices I'm making in my world, the people I surround myself with, the groups I'm a part of, so that I can come to a place where I feel this on the inside, where I believe this with every cell of my body.
I know that when you're in that space, it's when you're in that space of like, I don't feel like I'm enough, or I don't feel seen, I feel invisible, or I feel like my presence is actually a burden, or whatever it is, it can be really difficult. So you might be listening to this and thinking, yeah, it's not just a choice. Like, it's, I can't just choose to be different. It's who I am. It's true. It's my reality. If someone's in that place, like, what can they do to start shifting that?
So a powerful question to ask yourself when in that place is, what am I afraid that other people are going to see about me or know about me? Because there's a piece of, and this gets to the surrender of who you really are. Because there's a piece about you that makes you different, that makes you unique, that makes you stand out, that you can't change. Right? Okay, so something about me, I'm incredibly sensitive. I cry most days. and I grew up believing that that was wrong, that it made me not fit in most places. It made people roll their eyes at me. People can't handle it. And so because they couldn't handle it, I thought that I shouldn't handle it either and I should be different. And so a big part of my journey has been learning to love and embrace and see my sensitivity as a great gift. And so looking at that thing that you're afraid other people are going to see or know about you, that's the piece that needs your love and acceptance. And that's actually the key to you fully embracing your worthiness.
Yeah. And so in my work, you know, whilst the language is slightly different, it's exactly the same, the concept, right? So that I've always said that the journey from misfit of where you're like, I am different because I'm too sensitive, and that makes other people uncomfortable around me. Therefore I feel uncomfortable all of the time. Right. To become a maven is to really look at, where does my experience of this make me an expert, or make me more powerful, or really useful, or give me a gift in some way, right? Yeah. So that you can transform that. Because as soon as you can see the thing that you are treating as like your deepest vulnerability is actually your superpower, right? It's actually your thing that's going to transform the world and heal it and take you into a different place. So the fact that I always like, you know what, I think differently about stuff. I see the world differently from other people. I'm really, I say why? Like, as a kid, I was like, I asked so many questions to the point where people were like, you need to stop asking questions now, right? You just need to stop asking, just because I said so. Like, that's why. Because I said so. Little did they know that I would make a career out of, you know, eventually being really good at asking the right questions, right? Getting in there and being like, but if we look at it from over here, but what if we go and stand over here, but what if we think about it differently, right? So it's my superpower, like this thing that I was like, oh, it really irritates people when I ask questions, so I'm just not going to say anything, and I'm going to go and be the shy girl in the corner, or I'm going to have an opinion about everything because people don't like it when I ask questions. They much prefer it when I'm certain about something, right? So I became like this duality of like either saying nothing or having very concrete opinions about things. I probably didn't believe one way or the other, because actually my default, the thing I really wanted to do was to ask loads of questions, right? And go, well, what do you think? And what do you think? And how does this look for you? And what's your experience of it? Because that's my true nature, is to want to know how it looks from every single perspective.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can, yeah.
What's the shadow side of that gift?
What, apart from being really irritating?
So this is something that every spiritual gift, there's always a light and a shadow side.
Yeah.
And sometimes as kids, so I think in fully embracing our gifts, it's about embracing both the light and the shadow, bringing them both into consciousness. So yeah, so I'm wondering, so I see, other than irritating people, what's the like shadow side of that gift?
Well, maybe you think something differently, but I think it can be very, very challenging with it, right? So people often think that I'm challenging them, or that I don't agree, or that I'm not listening, or that I haven't heard them, you know, and that may also be true, because often I'm like, but you haven't given me all the information. There's definitely more. Like, I want more. So I think one of the shadows of it is that it can feel really challenging.
Yeah, I can see that. And I remember actually, and when you said that, I reminded of that moment you told me that when you drop crystals, like crystals have like shattered in your hands.
Yes.
And that you kind of like, and so there's a destructor side, you know, there's side of that gift where you're actually blowing things up. You're blowing things open, right?
Completely. And it's like, it's not completely done, but I feel like I've done a lot of work pulling these shadows together, right? Looking at the light and looking at the dark. And that it's like things, often when people come to me, what I do is destroy them in order to rebuild them and help them rebuild themselves in a way, right? Because destruction, like that's destruction and creation are really closely linked to one another.
Yeah. And so the reason I'm asking this is because if we don't integrate the shadow aspects of our gifts, then they, like I said before, they can self-sabotage us, you know? And so huge spiritual gift for me that was awakened as a kid, was the ability to step out of like this physical realm, and actually I could disappear. I could, so in the way that first of all, I could feel like everything was one thing, that we're all one, I felt everything that everyone was feeling, which was often very overwhelming. And I could easily take on other people's emotions, but then in other moments, in very kind of, dark moments, I would literally lose myself. Mm. I would feel myself disappear into the entire cosmos of the universe. Mm. And so and that would like, you know, really, really, really scared me. And another aspect of the shadow aspect though, was that I learned how to disappear and connect to sort of like the everything, the fabric of all, right? In order to escape this feeling that my physical existence, like that I didn't deserve to be here, that I didn't deserve to have something. Mm. Right. And so that's a shadow aspect that I needed to kind of like reconcile with, because when we're kids, like you said, like we create those beliefs and they can be so powerful that they're almost contracts. They're like contracts that we create. Mm. Like, so I can have this spiritual connection of feeling connected to everything and being one and never feeling alone, if I sacrifice my need to be physically taken care of.
Right.
And so I had to reconcile that and give that up, you know, mm-hmm. and come to realization that no, I can have both. I can be spiritually connected to everything. I can exist and not exist at the same time.
Yeah. So for me, it was really about not learning to be okay with not being liked. Right. So I can be really insightful and I can ask really powerful questions, but sometimes like it really pisses people off. Right. And yes. so they leave. And what's happened now is I have enough foresight that I can, particularly with clients, although, you know, so I've got, there was an experience, And in the 5 years that I've been coaching, I've coached a lot of people with some really deep transformational work. And I had one woman who halfway through left. And she left because we got to the crux of the thing and she didn't want to deal with it. And, you know, it was really uncomfortable. And she choosing to hate me was easier than carrying on, right? And actually, she was such a gift for me because I was reminded of the shadow, of the challenge of this gift, which is that if we poke people in order for them to help, you know, to find themselves, sometimes they're going to smack back. And I have to not, it's not that I have to not care, it's that I have to be detached from it, right? So actually the beauty of having it as a, having found a way to make this my career and not doing it with my partner and my siblings and my parents, and like those people that are really close to me, I now do it professionally for money, right? It means that there's a purpose and a realm where it's really safe. There's a container, there is a contract, there are rules about how it works. It's really like there are parts of my gift just not worth bringing into relationship, right? So I've learned how
and to that's, out. That's the brilliance of knowing the shadow aspect, because then you can, again, like that word choice that you're using, choose where, you know, and create boundaries around how you're actually using it. And so you are embracing and allowing that shadow part of you to, you know, putting a little, like, not a, I don't want to say a cage around it, but like creating a house, creating a room for it.
That's much nicer.
Yeah.
We've rushed through our time together and it always happens. I'm like, really? Did we just talk through the whole thing?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
If people want to come and find out more about you, we'll put everything in the show notes anyway, but where's the best place for them to come and interact with you?
They can come to my website at bigbeautifulbreakthrough.com. And they can also follow me on Facebook at, my handle, I think, is char.alea.
Fantastic. Well, so we'll put those links in so they come and find you. Should we end with an I'm an adult?
Oh, yes, please. Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, you can go first because that sounds like you've got one.
Yes. So let me remind me of how it goes. I am an adult,
but
okay. I'm an adult, but yesterday I bled through my underwear onto my pants, for my period.
Nice. Were you somewhere? I mean, it's one of those things. It's like we, as adults, female ones that bleed, some of us do it often.
Oh my gosh. I just would think that like after like what, 26 years of having my period, like I would learn, but no.
Well, and also like sometimes it just strikes you by complete surprise, right? Like I was out with a friend at the beach the other day and she bled through onto it and she was wearing a white stripy dress and it came through my back and I was like, I'll walk behind you if you like. She was like, you know what? I reached a point in my life where I just don't care. Like, stand next to me.
That's awesome.
Want to look and come and tell me, then they can. Like, you know, half the world.
I mean, I was at home. I just literally had forgotten. I just get sucked into my work. And I just literally had forgotten. And it's just one of those, okay, now you have to take off your pants, put them in the like, sink, you know, get the cold water going. It's like, ah!
I'm an adult, but even though my bank balance didn't want me to, I bought myself a new iPhone yesterday because I really, really wanted it.
Yes. That's the inner wild child.
Woo! Yeah. Oh.
Okay. I'll get you one more. This is a good one. I'm an adult, but I love to watch Friends and Frasier episodes when I want to decompress.
On that theme, I am an adult, but I've been and I'm and I'm someone who doesn't own a TV, but I binge watch a show. Like if I find a show I like, I will not stop till I'm done. right? Mm-hmm. Like, I will watch 18 hours of a show back to back and not sleep and then really regret it the next day.
That's another aspect of the inner wild child. No, I'm noticing this because she's been visiting me and I've been getting to know that, you know, that like, mm-hmm. yeah, all in, all or nothing, baby.
Yeah, I'm a lot better than I used to be with it. Every now and then sneaks out in little ways. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming and joining me and having this conversation.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's so much fun.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.